B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The phone number. Let's get some more of your calls. Dave in Buzzards Bay has a Patriots thought. What do you got, Dave?
So I have one thought before that, based on what you guys have been talking about. I just would say in my professional opinion, I would say MLB has the easiest and best shot to open back up, way over the NFL, just due to the contact. I mean, no one really gets in each other's face in baseball other than when someone's sliding into tag or the catcher and the batter are fairly close together at certain points during the game, obviously. I think if you threw masks on people in the dugouts, I think even if we have a second wave, which I think will probably happen, you could probably play right through that with no fans in the stadium. But so my original reason for calling, I was forced to listen to a very crappy station.
Not your problem.
And they
How's Buzzards Bay, by the way? You guys getting ready for summer?
It's not bad. The weather's actually starting to get nice, even though it snowed the other day. But, you know.
Is the lobster pot open and you can do takeout and all that?
Oh, yeah. That's all open.
Nice.
I think the Mezzaluna's still closed, but I'm not 100% okay on that. So
I love that spot.
But the real important thing is Betty Ann's is open, so you can get that good soft serve.
You guys just want to go up and down Route 6 and talk about what's open and what's not
open?
Yeah,
why don't you guys exchange numbers and hang out this weekend, too?
Hey, listen, I'm down. The thing I heard that made me yell at my partner to turn the station off because it was ridiculous, the first was they were ranking the careers of Andy Dalton versus Cam Newton, and they were saying
that hell station you listen to?
You listen to crap stations, Dave.
That's your fault, Dave.
Call that crappy station and complain about it. What are you complaining to us about? What some other crappy station said?
You know what we did, Dave? We spent maybe 7 minutes in total on Andy Dalton when all that stuff was going down because it was so absurd. Okay? To even think he would potentially be interested or they would be interested in a guy like him. Good God. Wake up, Dave.
Call someone. Call them to complain about it.
That's what happens to them. Happens down at Cape. You go crazy at times down there. You start flipping around. Now you're picking up signals from all over, different stations, carrying other people. You know?
I can't help that.
Lunatic asylum that's got its own sports talk show.
Yeah. Let me tell you, the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, Dave, you can take us wherever you are, wherever you go, bud.
Tap that app. Do anything you want.
Stream us. Stream. You won't have to deal with whatever headaches it is you're dealing with.
Love that stream.
That's what I would say.
Say, hey, Alexa, play 98.5 The Sports Hub. For all you people, ask your smart speaker, like you have us on at home, right? Hey, Alexa, turn on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Right.
Checking one in our homes.
Alexa, cancel.
So you want to order some toilet paper or something right now while you're at it?
What?
I mean, everyone needs that. Remember when it first came out?
I got like 96 rolls in my garage.
96?
96. I'm down under 100. I'm starting to get nervous.
getting nervous now. Mark is in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going? You staying safe?
Sure.
Yeah.
Are you Mark? Okay. I just want to mention that, you know, the UFC and the WWE are beating the crap out of each other and sweating all over each other. And the NHL is worried about spitting on the ice and the little scrums after the whistle. Let's get real. That sounds
no. That's a doc. That's a doctor. It's not the NHL. So be, you know, that's his what he would advise for them to get back to having the ability to function without people getting
but
sick.
To play devil's advocate in UFC, it's one guy, you know, spitting and bleeding and sweating and breathing over, you know, with one other guy. In the NHL, you have the potential of one guy mixing it up with multiple lines throughout the night. Multiple defensive pairings, and if you're talking about, you know, if one fighter came and was infected, yeah, there's a pretty good, there's almost certainty that he is going to infect the other fighter. If
Hardy,
one hockey player comes in and infected, he could infect, you know, everybody on his team and the other team.
Yes, it could take one guy. That's it.
Right.
One guy infected.
Yeah, I don't think it's a fair comparison between the two. Plus, Dana White has already shown that he's trying to do whatever it is that he wants to do. And, you know, he got stopped once, but now he's putting on fights, and people are grateful for it. You know, he's doing his thing. And thank goodness somebody is to show maybe some of the pitfalls and some of the successes that can be had when you start to, you know, do things again, not just for sports, but for, you know, all walks of life. So, you know, whatever you think of Dana White and him, you know, initially thumbing his nose at the restrictions and the edicts, well, now that he is doing something, and this is, you know, ultimately going to be for the best to have people out there doing stuff like that. But I don't think it's fair to compare what UFC does with what you could have when you're talking about, you know, entire teams of guys getting into close contact with each other. They're just two different things.
Especially with the number of guys that they have to be concerned with. I have the answer for you on that restaurant, by the way. It was a place, it's ranked as the second best restaurant in the world. It's called Noma. It's
Shoney's?
It's in Copenhagen.
Why did they not consider the breakfast buffet?
Cracker Barrel.
And it is $350 per head, and they ended up getting stuck with the table of four for just two of them, and so they ended up with everything all in. They ended up paying $1,400 for dinner for two of them. That's what they ended up doing.
I hope they ate double. Like, I would like pay for the seat. I'm like, give me two steaks in.
I don't think they're giving you a doggy bag there. And this place, Noma, is, I guess, world famous for doing 20-course meals. So it's 20 Jesus. Courses.
I can't imagine.
I got time for that crap. I don't have time for three-course, really. Give me a salad or soup. Give me the meal and then leave.
It can't be worth it.
It can't be. And I've been on some of these freaking meals where it's like four-course, five-course. You're done by three. I'm done. And if you're fat enough to eat as much as we eat and dine the way we dine, anybody has room for dessert, you have problems. It's stupid.
Yeah, you know, I side with Ricky Roma on this from Glengarry Glen Ross. Great meals fade in reflection. Everything else gains. You have a great meal, and you think when you get done eating it, like, that was so effing good. I can't believe how good that was. The memory of it and how good it was fades after time because it's just food. And you're going to eat more food a few hours later or the next day or whatever. Other things have the potential. You remember them as being better than they are. But food, like, you might really enjoy it. It may very well be the best meal you've ever had in your life. But it's not something that you're going to think back on fondly. It's whatever, $1,400? Come on.
Well, normally it would only be like, you know, $700.
So. Well, in that case, I'll take it all back.
Better.
Janet is in Rhode Island. Hi, Janet.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call, guys.
What's up?
I'm playing the what if game today, and I know it's not likely to happen, but what if all four sports start to play at the same time? I'm interested to know what your opinion would be on which sport and which team or game would the national or any sports station, television station, choose to broadcast.
All right, let me refine that a little bit. All four sports make it back in September, and they're all going to go on at the same time. Everybody's going to be playing. Who does the best in that market?
Football. It's our season. Football.
Yeah, I would say football would do the best.
It's hard to beat NFL Sunday and go up against
And it. I think the NBA would probably do second best.
NBA would be two because of the playoffs and, you know, the popularity of that, especially, you know, like the Lakers and the type of year they're having. Yeah.
That's what I would say. So hope that answers the question. Hope that answers it. Speaking of what ifs, Trenny Kuznarek, NBC Sports Boston, wrote about what sports might look like if it makes its way back.
A movie scene?
You mean the one that she helps with these awful videos on NBC Sports Boston?
Well, she had
do we have another one coming out today?
Of course we do. She had a cameo in the first quarantine scenes.
Do you know how long it took me to get that look of Tanguay with that hat on? It's crooked, with that stupid look on his face.
Frozen?
Frozen. Like, whoa. And then the one with him with a shirt on with a tie that's like four sizes too tight. He's popping his head off. Now I got to get that look. Him crying. Is he going to cry again in three consecutive videos?
All of it's on the way. Don't go anywhere.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So he just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Szolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kazarik, NBC Sports Boston, taking some time to do some writing about what sports looks like when it comes back. And it would be the new normal. This is the idea of the new normal. She says, let's start with my own industry, the media. With all due respect to the BBWAA and other reporters and broadcasters in all sports, we don't need to be at the games. It's not ideal, but we can report and broadcast from home. Writers can watch games on TV and conduct interviews through Zoom, Skype, or FaceTime. It will not be the same content as getting a guy in the heat of the moment, but it's serviceable. Teams can designate certain players daily, requested by media members for pre- and post-game availability. Most reporters have established relationships with players, so if individual discussions are necessary, those can be arranged. As for broadcasting the games on TV, we are currently producing shows from bedrooms and going live from our living rooms. It can be done.
Oh, it can be done. Can it be done well, though, is the question. Those guys have tough jobs covering whatever beat you cover. And like I said, you wouldn't get the one-on-ones. You wouldn't get, oh, I'm in the locker room, I just saw something, or I see this guy limp through. You miss all that stuff. And almost pretty much puts everybody on an equal level, trying to cover it from home, and opens the door for other people to have the ability to do it. I think some people are really good at covering it, some are not good. And it stands out, and you could tell which guys are good at covering it. So,
play-by-play and analysts can watch feeds on monitors and call games from a remote location.
No, you can't.
Wait a second.
What do you mean you can't?
It's not ideal. I wouldn't be able to see things.
You called that video game from a remote location. Were you hindered by not being able to be there and interview those little electronic heroes?
Yes. Yeah, the vibrating football guys. Yes, those guys. Yeah. No, you wouldn't be able to see coverage. You wouldn't be able to see trends, personnel groups going in and out. It'd be a totally different call.
Why would you not be able to see those things if you were given a direct, let's say, closed circuit feed of what was going on?
Well, that would be different. I would take this commentary as you would be seeing what you would see as you see it on TV.
Well, I would disagree with that. I would say broadcasters who have called games, let's say in the Olympics or back at ESPN studios. Of things over the years, many times they're looking at multiple monitors, and they are feeds that are constantly on. So I don't think it's hey, watch the game on television and then just call it off the TV. But by the way, if that's what needed to be in order to make it go, it's not like it's impossible. It's
you
not
can
ideal.
Do it. You can do
it's
it.
It's not
it
the would, best possible would, broadcast.
Right.
But it's
right.
Also,
you
not,
can do it. You can do it, but it wouldn't be done well.
It's good enough. It's good
enough. You get through it.
No, it says that on that front, sideline reporters can do pre- and post-game interviews remotely, and they can contribute to the broadcast in other ways. In-stadium and arena staff should be limited to essential workers only. No fans or media allowed. Stadium staff and security members would be greatly reduced. Any person on site would be required to wear a mask at all times. Same goes for managers, coaches, umpires, etc. Players should be mandated to wear the masks unless they're on the playing field. I know athletes are creatures of habit and comfort, but honestly, tough bleep. That's what it says.
I think this is extreme. Very extreme, right? I mean, if you're going to play, you're going to play. You're not going to sit on the sideline and wear a mask. And then, put your helmet on and take your mask off. Sideline reporters, you do away with the sideline reporters. There'd be no use for a sideline reporter because you wouldn't be down a lot on the sideline.
Right.
There's no reason to have a conference or one-on-one after the game. They're irrelevant then.
They would conduct pre- and post-game interviews remotely and contribute to the broadcast with other things if they are to remain on the broadcasts. I don't think it's far-fetched. I don't think it's extreme. The mask thing I disagree with. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, you're going to play.
Wear a mask on the sideline and then go out on the field and not have a mask on? I mean, what are we doing?
I don't know.
At that point, it just doesn't make any sense. You know, players on the bench in basketball are going to wear the mask, and then they go onto the court, and they're not wearing the mask. You're not preventing anything that way.
Is Brad Stevens going to have the mask on when he's yelling at the official when he's running by him? Yeah. Would you say? I can't read your lips. Yeah. Do you call me the F word? That's a T for you, buddy.
I think the thing that it's going to cause probably the most controversy among, you know, people who are actually working these games is what she said at the beginning in terms of actually covering the games without being at the games. And, you know, that's the way it's been done. And I don't think anyone's going to disagree that that's the best way to do it for all the reasons we mentioned. You know, the things that you see that aren't picked up on camera, whether it's, you know, players coming in and out of the locker room late or, you know, what they look like, what their mood is like, what's the atmosphere like. But if we're just talking about, like, all right, can you have the game? Are they going to play the game? Yes. Is the game going to be on TV? Yes. Will there be some play-by-play and analysis? Yes. She's right. You can do all that remotely. It won't be as good, but the games aren't going to be as good anyway without any fans in the stands. And, it sucks to say it out loud over and over and over again, but there are a lot of things that aren't going to be as good here in the short term as they have been in the past until, you know, this thing is figured out. So in terms of a fix and in terms of things that are livable and workable, this is among the ones that I would say yes to. Yeah. I don't want you stuck in a room somewhere calling the game instead of being there and you and Sosie being able to watch everything that's going on the field. Can you do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do it.
It wouldn't be the same. Right. But I can get through it.
Well, nothing is the same anymore.
Well, so, I mean, it will be at some point. Yeah, unless we're just going to just sit there and live in fear our whole lives. I mean,
Say anymore because we're going to lose Zoe for the rest of the show. You can't say things like anymore, Beetle.
Right.
He's going to get too upset.
Okay, I won't do that. But for the foreseeable future, I mean, nothing is normal.
Short-term future. We'll just say short-term future, and we'll leave it at that.
Don't you dare say new normal.
You're going to have to call games from a room for a little while, Zoe. A little while. Preseason.
I mentioned,
maybe.
Here's my question. Is the pay the same?
You
may remember this. I mentioned this to Zoe over a month ago about, are you prepared to call games off a monitor?
Yeah.
It's. I've already been planting these seeds. So I'm just curious if you're any more open to it now than you were a month ago. Clearly not. Clearly not the case. Jim is in Lowell. Hey, Jim.
Hey, I just heard how hot he was comparing the UFC to the NHL and how it doesn't compare at all, but I didn't think he was thinking about, you know, it's 22 different fighters in one ring with three or four guys in each corner, several referees throughout the night, cameramen, ring girl, Joe Rogan hopping up there, but it's upwards of 100 people in that same bloody sweat spit-filled ring in the end of the night. So I'll hang up.
So he hung up. Damn it.
What?
Now I know what he's saying. A bunch of people are occupying a small space, albeit at different times. But still, whatever residue is left behind. Yeah, it's not perfect. It is not a completely safe environment except for just the two fighters and the referee. Nope, you're leaving stuff behind and you can only get stuff cleaned up so much. And I get it. But comparatively speaking, it's a safer enterprise than having, you know, 5-on-5 hockey with those guys breathing all over each other and up and down the ice and or basketball. You got to, you know, take these things in degrees. And then there's the component of how much of it is really spread by contact and how much of it, you know, do they think at this point now, as you learn more and more every day, is mostly spread by breathing the same air, you know? And how long does it linger there? This is all stuff that they, depending on who you ask and what doctor and what scientist, they're going to have new information and different ideas about it. But it seems to me to be the prevailing notion right now that it is most often transmitted by breathing the same air as opposed to touching a door handle that someone else touched. Is that fair, Beetle? Is that
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Right. So
yeah, based on where the research is at right now, yes, breathing is far more dangerous than anything else. Breathing in close proximity is, I don't know if that's considered the most dangerous thing, but it's the thing that I believe it's spreading the fastest through, from what the experts say. Yeah. Okay.
We're all in this together.
Well, that's going to happen in every sport, right? People are going to be in close proximity. They're going to be breathing heavily on each other.
Yeah. By the way, I'll make a deal with you right now. Even as a joke, I won't say the new normal as long as you don't say we're all in this together. I'll make that
virtual shake. Virtual shake.
Or virtual shake. No, now you have two things you can't say. Nope.
Shake my hand. Touch me.
I'm not doing a virtual handshake either.
Touch my hand. Okay. You want to touch it. All right. You want to touch it. I can't wait to see you where I could just come by and slap you guys on the neck and you guys all freak out. Oh, what's up?
I'm going to do it.
You germ man. Mr. Germ man.
So you want to do a high five since we're right next to each other on the screen?
Here you go.
You guys aren't going to. Hold on a second.
Are you this
no
way?
Practicing. You guys are going to mess. Oh, you're practicing already.
See where the line is.
Brody,
I'm going to move.
Beetle on three. One.
Hold on. I got to see exactly where we're at here, where we need to be.
Okay. I'm right here.
Hold on.
Right here.
Zone, you need to be higher.
I want to get it just right now.
I bet you could.
Ready?
All right. One, two, three, go.
Out of luck.
I didn't get it.
I think we did it, Hardy.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
And this is day 61 of the quarantine, and we are giving each other high fives through the television screen. Jeff Fry, former Red Sox everyman. I mean, every position on the field the guy could play. He's going to join us coming up next. Stay tuned for that. It should be fun.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You walk into a hitting facility, and the coach hands you a PVC pipe. And as your son or daughter doing this, run for the doors. Okay? A little windy here in Texas. So apparently what I did in my career doesn't work anymore. I'm going to try it out. I don't think I want to snap it. I don't ever remember seeing any big stars in the game snap. Just hit down through the ball, try to hit line. Genius. Kind of like this. Jigo! You walk into a hitting facility.
She's gone. Oh, I better learn how to face it. She's gone. Oh, I pay the devil to replace her.
She's gone. The voice you heard in that video. It was of Jeff Fry, and if you're a Red Sox fan, you absolutely know who Jeff Fry is. I just looked it up. Jeff Fry in 1997 played every position on the field for the Red Sox except pitcher and catcher. The guy could do everything. And he joins us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Jeff Fry, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
That video.
What time is it? What time is it Texas time? Like, is that like 10:30. Tea time, Texas time, 10:30?
10:30 okay. Right now, 10:37.
I always get confused by that when we go down to Houston to do a game. Like, am I 2 hours behind? Am I 1 hour behind? Am I on time? You never know.
Always 1 hour, buddy. Texas
I got
to the
you.
East Coast.
All right.
That video that we just played got over 1 million views in 2 days. 2 days' time. Did you ever expect to be a social media star?
No chance. Actually, it was somebody else that... posted that on TikTok because I don't even have a TikTok. I think that's for teenagers, from what I understand. So a buddy of mine sent it to me and said, hey, did you see this thing on TikTok? It's got 1 million views in 2 days. I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
You know, you should be compensated for that, correctly? I mean, you there is something there now. What are you going to do next?
There could be some money in this for you.
Hopefully today is the day that we start selling She Gone T-shirts. Hashtag She Gone T-shirts. I got a really cool logo with me swinging uphill and hitting a wiffle ball up in the air with a PVC pipe. So that's our logo.
So when did you start yelling, "She gone"? Is this something you've been using forever?
No. The first video I made, just goofing around in the backyard, my son, I said, hey, I showed him the video, and I said, I want to do this. See if you can make sure I look like this. So he did it. First time I messed it up. Next time he goes, that's it. And I said, oh, the light bulb just came on, because that's one of the phrases I hear from the hitting gurus. And the next video, I honest to goodness, I had no clue I was going to say that. I was a big fan of Hawk Harrelson and the way he announced the White Sox games. And he used to say, be gone or sit down, bus drivers, all these crazy things. And so it just came out and everybody loved it.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a 2-year thing. Like, kids use it. You know, he gone, she gone, and it's just quick to type on social media. So I think we're at a certain age. We're all sort of in that same age bracket where life passes us by, and we're not hip with all the current sayings. So we're just catching up on this.
But now you're going to be a trendsetter, Jeff, because you're going to have kids that are yelling "she gone" when they connect, is what it's going to be. But in these videos, which are very lighthearted, super entertaining, you seem to be sort of taking on some of these new wave methods of teaching how to hit, and whether that be teaching kids or high schoolers or college level kids. And are you sort of against the new way of hitting with launch angle and everything that is being paid attention to now?
Yeah, I wouldn't say sort of against. I'd say I'm totally against, because the big issue, I think, is the fact that the guys that are teaching this stuff, a lot of the guys are pretty arrogant, and, you know, they're rude to guys who played this game, and they try to diminish what we accomplished in this game and say that we don't know what we're talking. The game has changed. It passes by. It's like, well, it worked for 150 years, and now in the last couple, everything's got to change, and everybody's got to hit fly balls. And so I'm totally against it.
Hey, leads to a lot of outs. No, go ahead, Zoe. Yeah.
Obviously, you're currently an agent, too. What are the concerns some of your clients are having, other than, you know, the money that we've been talking about, as far as the 50% shared revenue and all that stuff that's been talked about with owners over the last couple of days? But what's some of the biggest concerns your clients have as this coronavirus takes shape here?
Well, I think there's a lot of concerns. There's just so much unknown, you know. I mean, should we really be getting back to doing this now? Is baseball, as much as we all miss it, more important than the overall health of our country? And, you know, what are the risks involved in players going back to play? And, you know, these guys got to go home after the game to their families. So it's, you know, if one guy brings something home to his family, then I don't think it was worth it. So, I mean, it's going to be tough, this negotiation that's getting ready. It just started yesterday. I mean, it's going to be it's going to be a battle, I believe, because I don't believe that the players are 100% ready to come back. I think there's some guys that, actually, one of the Red Sox pitchers, right, came out and said something about, is it worth it? So, we'll see.
We're talking with Jeff Fry here on Zolak and Bertrand. If you are the throwback of, you know, classic style of hitting versus the new wave guys, if you're the good guy in this, which I consider you to be the good guy, who's the nemesis? Who's the bad guy? Is there one, like, instructor that is out there who's considered the bad guy of launch angle hitting?
Oh, yeah, there is absolutely one bad guy. Well, there's a lot of bad guys, but there's one who's at the top of the class, and that's Teacher Man. His name's Richard Schenck, and he's a 64-year-old, I believe, pool hall owner who claims to have gone to his basement and spent 2.5 years watching video of Barry Bonds and trying to emulate Barry Bonds' swing. And now that's what he teaches everybody, to try and hit the way Barry Bonds does. And he basically diminishes every Major League Baseball player that gets on these threads, and it's pretty comical that this guy is now the expert.
We talk about this all the time, and J.D. Martinez is here in Boston, and J.D. Martinez is obviously someone that is very big on sort of these teachings. He says it revived his career and allows him to be the player that he is. But we talk about it frequently and say we think as fans it started to destroy the product. We felt like the game was a much better product in when you were playing as opposed to now. Do you feel that way? Do you feel it's really started to creep in and damage it as a spectator sport?
I do believe that. I mean, I've been watching baseball, you know, since I was a little kid, and I could sit there and watch a baseball game one after another. And now it's hard for me to go sit through a nine-inning game and watch all the strikeouts and the players not making adjustments and the shifts. And, you know, why is the commissioner trying to make all these changes in the game if the game's, you know, headed in the right direction? Why are we changing it?
You feel go ahead, Beetle.
I was just going to say it's not necessarily a league-driven change either. It is really could be a player-driven change that teams have now sort of glommed onto. And I think, Jeff, more now than ever, you've got people that are in front offices. And I know that you've talked about, hey, you know, I've got my baseball card. I've played this game. There are a lot of guys in front offices that never got to the level that you did and are closer to the guy who's been watching Barry Bonds film in his basement for the last 2 years.
That's part, in my opinion, part of the problem is there's so many people that are overanalyzing the game, trying to their stats and their data. And I mean, what about instincts? What about, you know, things that you've experienced throughout your years of playing baseball that only come into play once or twice? There's no data for that. You have to react. And I mean, one of the managers I played for, one of my favorite managers to ever play for, Jimmy Williams, he was all about instincts and gut feel. And to me, that's being removed. I mean, I can't imagine that Bill was managing and some guy from the front office called up in the sixth inning and said, hey, he's thrown 80 pitches and gone through the lineup twice, get him out of the game. Can you imagine how that would have ended up?
What the hell? What did Jimmy say? What was he saying? If pigs could fly, was that him?
Yeah. Oh, Jimmy had a lot of funny sayings.
He had a lot of crazy sayings, didn't he?
He did. Well, I'll tell you a quick story. We went to Toronto, and we're facing Frank Castillo, right-handed pitcher. It was the first couple months of the year, and Frank was dominating right-handed hitters. So the right-handers are hitting like 189 against him for the season. So some of us right-handed hitters that were kind of platoon guys, me and Darren Lewis and a couple guys, we all went and played golf that day, knowing we weren't going to be in the lineup. We show up at the field, and we're all in the lineup. And Jimmy calls us in his office, and about five of us, and he goes, crosses his arms the way he did. It was really cool. He used to crack me up, and he'd say, well, righties are hitting 189 against this guy, so I figured, what the hell? Let's fill the lineup with righties. Go get them, boys. And that was the end of the meeting. We went out and got 12 hits and won the game. But, you know, that would never happen today because the stats would say, why would you put righties in against a righty that's dominating righties? They wouldn't do it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Jeff, before we let you go, I told you this yesterday, but both Tony Maserati wanted me to relay that he had said hello, and also, believe it or not, Dan Shaughnessy wanted me to let you know that he says hello and that you were a great guy and one of his favorites in that clubhouse.
Wow, that's cool. I mean, I loved my time, my 4 years in Boston. I got along with the media. I'm sure you guys remember the story Gordon Eads wrote. I'm not, you know, no stranger to controversy, but if I feel something's wrong, I'm going to speak out about it. And that's kind of what I'm doing with this whole She Gone thing. Who knows where it's headed, but I hope we get the game back.
All right, Jeff, Jeff, real quick, you ever crack up watching Napoleon Dynamite and think that's Dan Shaughnessy in the movie?
The hair is pretty similar, I admit. But I appreciate you guys having me on, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen. Hopefully we'll get some type of season this year and get things back in the right direction.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay, guys. Have a good one. Thank you.
Take it easy. Jeff Fry, former Red Sox infielder, joining us. He had a small dust up with Shaughnessy that both of them told me about. That
he gone.
He basically put Carl Everett onto Shaughnessy, and Carl Everett lost his mind on Shaughnessy one day. Jeff Fry sort of sent him in Shaughnessy's direction. And they both laugh about it now, all these years later. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. If you got some thoughts, bring them to the table. We got more to get to coming up in the noontime hour. Hardy will be rejoining us, I assume, coming up in just a couple of minutes.
Yeah, we hope. Yes.
Hey, dipped out there for a second. But we've got plenty more, including, again, everything we've talked to today and which sport is the closest to coming back. Which one is the closest to coming back in terms of the readiness? We'll pick that back up on the other side.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Open phone lines if you'd like to jump on board. Scott's in Lowell today. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, this question is for Hardy and you, Beetle. Somebody called into the Felger show last week, and he asked the question, if your choice was Brian Hoyer or Scott Zolak to start the season this year, who would you pick? And they both went with Hoyer, which surprised me. So I was wondering what you guys thought.
All right.
I'm going Hoyer based on age.
No, let's do this. Okay, seriously, obviously, you know, it's Hoyer. He's still of the age of a professional athlete, whatever. Like, but let's do it in a way we can actually answer the question. Scott Zolak, what's your best year, Zol? What do you think was your best year?
96.
96, 97.
All right, what was your worst year? What was you know what? Let's make it even more fun. What was your worst year?
You have to pick a year when you didn't play at all. Probably like 95.
No, where you did play. Yeah. Yeah, where you played a little bit. And you weren't happy with yourself.
I was kind of the same guy all the time.
I was always pretty awesome. It was kind of a calling card.
All right, let's say 96, 96, 97, Zoe or Brian Hoyer.
Me.
Taking Zoe every time.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
The last long ball Hoyer hit. Hoyer get the crowd rocking? He get the stadium rocking?
Yeah, that's...
Does he change plays in the huddle?
That's important. That is important.
He's going to get the crowd into it.
Who do you want to run through a wall for? Come on.
If that's the question, that's how I would phrase it. Zoe of the 90s or the Hoyer of now? You give me Zoe of the 90s every single time. Every time. If only Lovett Purnell had caught that ball, dude. If only he'd caught that ball for you.
God, I'd take Lovett over these guys.
Man, look at that. And Lovett Purnell of the 90s is going to make a comeback over the current tight end group on this team.
You want Marv Cook, Ben Coates, and Lovett Purnell, or you want this crew?
Yeah, I'll take Coates. Yeah.
I'd take Coates out of it. I'd still take
Coates. Of course.
But, Zoe, here's something. Based on what you've learned about the game over the last, 20 years, if you were back in your same body from 96 – and you had a chance to play right now, what would you do differently, if anything, mechanically, based on how the game is played now and what you look back on and say, God, I really should have had more hips, or I should have done this. What would you go back and do differently now?
That's a good question. Probably want to be in shotgun more. I think it saves you.
I mean you physically. Yeah, what would you change about your throwing motion your style?
I would be probably more towards the Brady angle based on the nutrition part of it. Oh. And, they have, we were barely on the cusp of, I was taking Andro and we were on Ultra Fuel and different stuff, stuff that's banned now. Now everything is so scientifically balanced. They got those 21, they got these 21 blenders all set up, and you have a protein smoothie bar where you just go and you make anything you want, all these different combinations. And just stuff that's so synthetically advanced right now that, I don't know. Probably be in the Bond stuff, down that route a little bit.
Okay. All right. It's a good answer. Yeah.
Give me the synthetic stuff. Don't matter. Put it under my tongue. Lift all day. I'd be lifting all day.
You got to do what you got to do to win.
Yeah. You think? Ain't cheating, ain't trying. When in doubt, look about. Yeah, those two signs hanging in Maryland.
Nick is in need of Nick.
Hey, guys. I've got a question about the story about the deteriorating relationship between Tommy and McDaniels. I was watching Felger last night, and he seems convinced that it was because of all the drama. That's why Tommy left. He's really big on that story. But then I thought, well, what about the contract that they offered him? I mean, they didn't offer him a two-year contract. It didn't seem like the greatest money. So I was thinking, well, maybe it was more about the contract, and that's why Tom left, and not necessarily about the drama. And I'm just wondering what you guys think about that.
I think it's 95% the contract. You know, going back to that Super Bowl after 2016 season, I was under the assumption he was going to have a new two-year deal right away. That never came to be. Breeze ended up getting it. Ended up getting the same deal twice, 2 for $50, 2 for $50. And if you did that both times with Tom would still be here. Mm. Period. Regardless of personnel or who the coordinator was.
Pete in Delaware on Zoe over Hoyer. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. First of all, Zoe, I would take you in a heartbeat over Hoyer.
Yeah, you would.
No, seriously, because I used to, believe it or not, I had season tickets years ago when you played through my father. He was a big Patriot fan, although I'm a Giants fan. And with this day and age, the way the game is played, I think you'd be better than Hoyer. Not trying to blow smoke up your rear end, but I think you would be.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Pete.
Oh, no problem. And so, guys, my thing with the leagues, like I'm just comparing Major League Baseball to the NBA. You know, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but the one thing I like about Adam Silver, he just seems to be upfront with these guys. And I thought the best thing that's been said is he told them there's going to be risks. You know, they know people are going to test positive. What are you willing to take? And I think that's the best way to approach this, is that it's going to happen. And what do we do when it happens? Like, that's the only way it's going to work.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. Testing is going to be necessary.
Testing is key
on a grand scale, but we're not close to it. We're not. So, are the leagues going to take tests before the general public has the tests? And we've got two leagues on record saying no, both the NFL and the NBA. They won't do it. So, if testing is not widespread and testing is not caught up, they're not going to jump. They're not going to skip the line. They've already said it.
Well, at the very least, they're not going to commit to, you know, doing the thousands of tests needed each week to keep their league going if there are people who still can't easily and readily get a test just in normal day-to-day life. I think that's the discussion that they're having right now. And they've said, like, right now, and not only from a league level, but from a public health level, too, they're like, no, right now it probably wouldn't be appropriate. If you're talking about needing 10,000 tests to start the NFL right now, and you needed that right away, no, that would be both a PR nightmare, and it would be a misuse of public health resources. But 3-4 months from now could be a totally different story.
Boy, go back to beginning of March when Rudy Colbert tested positive, right? Next thing you know, they had, 58 tests right away that night.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they got tests. It's just how do you want to be perceived and what do you want that perception to look like?
Yeah, the NBA's already said we don't want that again. They got a lot of heat for that. They did. They didn't like the heat they got the first time, and now that they know more about where we're at, they've said they're not doing it. The NFL said the same thing. So as much as we say the NFL, you know, has time on their side and they've got time to prepare for their season, if right. the testing is not caught up by the fall, the NFL has already said, no, we're not going to take any special tests. They're in the same boat as the NBA.
Yeah.
By the way, it seems Gary Bettman might be fighting back against what his deputy commissioner, Bill Daly, said.
Oh.
Or saying something to counter what he knows is now out there from Bill Daly. We'll get to that in 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.